I had the privilege yesterday of spending some time with, we had like a music summit. Every year we do a music summit where Tony and John and Micaiah and Sarah and Tyler, we all get together once a year to kind of talk over who we are, why we worship the way we worship, why we pick the songs we pick. We get to hang out in Tony's studio, which looks like a space machine. I feel like we can go to outer space in it, which is really fun. And I just feel very lucky to get to work with people who are making those songs happen in a worship context. So I'm very grateful to you musicians and you singers and all of you for helping create a worshipful environment. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah. So with gratitude to God and for one another, let us pray together. Eternal God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, and Leah, David, Jess, Tina, speak to us now in the modern time, in this our metropolis. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the great joys of serving a community like Broad Street Ministry is that we simply haven't been around long enough to have a lot of baggage about things that shouldn't have a lot of baggage attached to it. So there's some churches that I have been a part of that fight about the carpet. And they think they're fighting about the carpet, but they're really not fighting about the carpet. They're fighting about something that happened 25 years ago that sort of had to do with the carpet, but at this point, the carpet is that's the battlefield on which we're fighting a battle that is totally unrelated to the carpet. And the thing that I love about this church is that we've only really existed for 11 years. We have had the same terrible carpet the entire time. And we don't have a lot of appetite as a group to fight about things that aren't what they're really about. That for 11 years, we have been able to just be who we are, have the fights that we need to have, agree and care for one another and love one another. And we don't have a lot of that history. We don't have deep-seated factions or resentment that doesn't belong. Our youth is really an asset because we still have the opportunity to sort of shape how we will grow. We still have a chance to decide who we will be as we get older. We can decide who we will be and how we will control the story that we tell about ourselves. The story isn't bigger than us yet. We can still tell the story in the way that we want to tell the story. But for that youth to be well spent, as so few youths are, we need to take that choice to tell our own story seriously and to touch base with our core values, to reconsider ourselves, to look back over and over and over again at founding passages of Scripture, at essential stories that tell us who we are. We come from this wonderful Christian tradition where every single year on Christmas Eve, we tell the same story. Every year on Easter, we tell the same story. No, none of you ever comes up to me on Christmas Eve and says, no, I heard that one last year. Tell me another one. The point is that we tell the same stories over and over again because we are different every time we hear them. The story is the same, but we are different. This passage, Luke chapter 14, as I understand it, is as important to Broad Street Ministry as any other story in Scripture. If you want to understand Broad Street Ministry, read Luke 14 and you get a sense of who we are. This is a founding document for Broad Street. The story of Jesus receiving hospitality at the home of a Pharisee. And then in so doing, after he sees the way they're doing hospitality there, Jesus lays out his own subversive theology of hospitality. It's a subversive theology that contrasts what he's seeing and lays out another way. That's kind of what we've tried to do. So since Broad Street Ministry is a pretty transitory community, since we have David Van Houten and Kim Olthoff and Kirsten King and Pam Gwaltney who've been here since the very beginning, and since we have some people that I know, this is their first Sunday with us, let's check in again about who we are and then see what this story is saying to our community today. So, some background. This church, Broad Street Ministry, was founded in 2005 as a place that would be a radically hospitable place. As I understand it, the initial outreach was to artists who didn't feel as though they fit in on the Avenue of the Arts. That there was the Avenue of the Arts and the Merriam Theater and the Wilma Theater and the Academy of Music and the Kimmel Center and the University of the Arts that privileged a certain kind of artist. And what we were going to do was offer radical hospitality, an intentional invitation to those artists, particularly who didn't feel connected or like they were a part of what was going on the Avenue of the Arts. They were doing important work, but it didn't fit in on what was going on outside. And yeah, the artists came, the musicians came, they're still here, but the single biggest group that responded to this invitation from the community, from the early people in this church, that was Philadelphia's most vulnerable residents. People suffering from hunger and homelessness and poverty, mental illness, social dislocation, all of those wicked social ills. People who were suffering from them, they responded to the invitation from this community. People who never got invited to anything got invited to Broad Street. And so they said yes. So this community, hearing a call to welcome people that were not being welcomed anywhere else, decided that they would respond positively to an invitation from the city in the winter of 2006 to operate an overnight respite in the wintertime, the cafe. A cafe for the most vulnerable people in the city, those people who couldn't even make it work in traditional shelters, elderly, mentally ill, and physically disabled people. And the decision to host that cafe in the winter of 2006 to 2007 changed us forever and made us who we are today. We knew that it was the right thing to do, and so we accepted that invitation again in the winter of 2007 to 2008. And as spring was on the horizon and as winter was coming to a close, this community asked what it would be like to host a meal for residents of the cafe one day a week. And so on Valentine's Day, Thursday, February 14th, 2008, this community hosted its first ever Breaking Bread lunchtime meal. Whitney, you were probably volunteering then, even back then. Kirsten, you were one of the founders. You were here on February 14th, 2008. 8 years later, 8 years on, that one meal became three meals, became four, became five. Now it is seven meals a week. Meals served in this room Monday through Saturday. And then every Sunday we gather here for worship. More than anything else, I think it is this text, Luke 14, that has taught us as a church how to integrate faith and hospitality, faith and social services. It is this text, Luke chapter 14, that taught us about extending meaningful invitations and continues to help us understand that even now. It is this text, more than any other, that tells us how to set the table for our guests during the week and how to set this table for all of us every Sunday. So first, I want to talk about hospitality. Christian hospitality, if it is really Christian hospitality, is structured in a way that those whose lives are marked by ongoing humiliation are exalted and given pride of place. Hospitality that reinforces the established order of our culture, that the rich get the best and the poor get the worst, if that's what the hospitality reinforces, then it is by definition not Christian hospitality. It can be hospitality, but it's not Christian hospitality. What Christian hospitality is extending a meal or services in ways that affirm the inherent worth, the human dignity of every single person, regardless of where they are told to sit in their everyday life. At the Christian table, the vulnerable guest, the one who is made to feel humble or even humiliated, is exalted. They are shown to a seat that has been specially prepared for them and provided with everything that they need to thrive. But more than that, more than the mechanics of it, what Jesus is saying is that the presence of real hospitality, radical hospitality, means that those barriers that we have erected to keep us apart from our neighbor, that those barriers are broken down entirely. That one's wealth, gender, race, status, orientation, or intellect, these things are all cast aside. And the thing that actually matters is that we are all received at this table. We're all being extended hospitality from the one who sees us primarily as children of God. That's what Christian hospitality is. If it enforces the idea that you are a child of God above all else, that's Christian hospitality. Next, invitations. In the modern world, we humans are bombarded with invitations all the time. I get 3 emails from Hillary Clinton a day inviting me to do something. I'm grateful for those invitations, but that's a lot of invitations. I am bombarded with invitations. My Facebook page, I don't have Facebook. Your Facebook page is full of invitations. Billboards, clickbait, your Snapchat feed, the Snapchat story from the Daily Mail is an invitation to care about things that are so totally inconsequential. I don't know why I read it, but I read it every day faithfully. Why do I do that to myself? Why do I accept the invitation to read the Daily Mail Snapchat story? You all are not my therapists. I shouldn't put that on you. But these invitations are mostly lousy. I invite you to care more about the Kardashians. Do you accept this invitation? That's a lousy invitation, right? Like, I invite you to take advantage of this special offer from the Comcast Corporation or from the Verizon Corporation. Would you like to upgrade your Xfinity, your Fios? You're invited. These invitations are costly and not in a good way. It's not like the cost of discipleship. These are things that cost us. They wear away our soul. What Jesus is calling us into is a world that is marked by totally different kinds of invitations. Invitations without a catch. An invitation to simply be who you really are. It is an invitation to be in my life as you are, to dine at this table. Bring yourself. That is a meaningful invitation, an invitation that is not meant to be reciprocated in order for it to be truly meant. So on Sundays and throughout the week, this community endeavors to extend meaningful invitations and Christian hospitality to everyone. It means we don't have metal detectors at the front door. It means that we don't make people stand in line to access essential basic services that everybody needs. It means we don't fence this table to only baptized people or people who have prayed the sinner's prayer or people who can rattle off the 4 spiritual laws. It means we wear name tags in an effort to break down the barriers between service providers and service recipients. It means there is no income requirement or sobriety requirement. It means that there is no statement of faith that you will ever have to sign on to be a part of this church community. That's what that means. The invitation is to you to come and be a part of this community. And the only thing that we will ever ask of you, the only responsibility you will have, is to take seriously the idea that you could really belong and then see where that takes you. I think we've done pretty well with this so far. In 11 years, we've done okay. The meals and services throughout the week are recognized for robust social science. We know that the way that we provide the meals, that mitigates trauma triggers for our guests, and that they walk away with a greater feeling of hope and optimism. We know that people accessing basic services feel like they are a part of a community. Our worshiping community is growing. We are reaching young people. We are racially diverse. We are actually extending a legitimate welcome to LGBTQ people, people who have never been to church and people who have had entirely too much church in their life. People who have had terrible experiences with church seem to be finding a home here together in the same room. That's good. But I think we can do better. I think we're being called to something particular now. I think that Luke 14 is different for us today than it was 11 years ago. And I think it can involve more of you than it involves right now. So first, I think the Garden Initiative that Sammy has been spending a lot of her time with. The Garden Initiative reminds us that good ingredients contribute to radical Christian hospitality. Good ingredients grown in the community in a way that honors God's creation and our neighbors, that is what our vulnerable guests deserve. A way to exalt the ones who have been made to feel humble or humiliated is to say, you deserve the best that we can do. And that starts with good ingredients. So if you feel a call in your life to tend the earth, to harvest fine ingredients for fine people, talk to Sammy Evans. She would love to help you weed the garden. There's a lot of weeding to do right now. Great. People who can weed gardens, talk to Sammy. I also think that we need to do more inviting people to church. And I'm going to read your mind and say that that makes you feel squeamish. And I agree with you. Many of us have found that this is a place of healing, encouragement, respite, a place where you can express your faith and your doubt. That many of you, many of us, have felt that this is a place where you can feel like you belong. Many of you have found that there is a place prepared for you at this table, and you never actually felt like that could be the case. There are too many people in the world who do not feel that there is a place for them, for us to not be extending invitations to our neighbors to participate in this church community. There are many others out there who need to be invited who can discover that sort of truth. Just like the invitation that God calls us to in this passage, inviting someone to church is uncomfortable. It's an invitation that can't really be reciprocated. It's just something that you put out there in the world, and maybe someone will accept it, and maybe someone will decline. But we have a good thing going here. I really think that. And sharing it with our neighbor is actually good hospitality. I feel very squeamish about this. I promise I do. Because we're talking about evangelism, and I'm a Presbyterian, and Presbyterians don't like evangelism. It's just not a part of my life. But I have noticed lately that there is absolutely no shortage of churches. There is absolutely no shortage of religious leaders. Religious leaders who are willing to speak publicly about their beliefs. And the ones who get the airtime, the ones who are least ashamed of their positions, they are very often the ones perpetuating the idea that Christ didn't invite everyone to the table. They are the ones who are saying that there is not a place for you here. That there is not room for you in the gospel. And so I do think we have a responsibility, friends, to not be ashamed of our position, but rather to proclaim it for the world. To proclaim that Christ did, in fact, invite everyone to the table. And so too will we at Broad Street Ministry. So yeah, this is weird and it's lame, but we're trying to do more on social media. Sorry. I'm going to bombard you with a hashtag. I want you to use it. I actually think that might help us reach our neighbors to communicate the truth of what is going on here. I hope that you will consider doing that. But also, we think that there's a lot of promise in these regional fellowship groups where you can gather with those people who live near you and who worship with you. So caring for others has done a yeoman's task. The regional fellowship conveners, Taylor in West Philly, Rachel in South Philly, there's Tim, Rachel somewhere, and Caleb, who's not here, in North by Northwest Philadelphia. If you live in any of those communities, please talk to those people. Their names and contact information are in the back of your bulletin. There's actually possibilities here to get better connected and to grow this community. Basically, what I'm trying to say here is that I think we should be less embarrassed about ourselves, less embarrassed about the prospect of growing this community. Expanding this table. I need you all to stick around and to care about the fate of Broad Street Ministry as a whole. So stick around today to talk to Mike, our new executive director. There he is. We're going to be gathering in the Sunday school room immediately after worship. Bring your questions, bring your comments, bring your desire to be a part of this community, because we need you. Learn how to participate in what we're doing now and how you can grow with us into where we're going next. So from the beginning of Broad Street Ministry and into its future, Luke 14, this passage, has been a North Star. It has reminded us of the importance of what we do, of extending hospitality in a way that exalts the humbled. It helps guide us in issuing meaningful invitations to those who rarely, if ever, get them. As we gather around this table, where we will receive an unconditional invitation to radical Christian hospitality, I invite you to dream with me about hospitality and invitations in Broad Street Ministry's future and the role that you have to play in extending those. I want to close with an email that a colleague of mine got. This is from the CEO of a small corporation that comes to volunteer semi-regularly at Broad Street Ministry at the meals. This person has never been to this church service as far as I know. And they all their only connection with Broad Street is that they volunteer during the week. But he sent this email to my colleague Jessica, and she printed it out and handed it to me. And I'm going to read it to you now. I had an interesting thought this morning, and I wanted to take a picture of it, but didn't. Maybe that's for the better. I noted that in the back of the room, by where the hostess stand is, there's a table where the folks sit with the microphone, and Broad Street Ministry staff tend to congregate there, and also the guests who know them tend to stop by and sit and chat. I don't know if this was intentional or not, but the table that was grabbed for that purpose, I'm guessing because it was sturdy and serviceable, is a communion table that says, "In remembrance of me," on the front of it. We're very used to seeing tables with that on the front, up on altars, with bread and wine on them. Nothing wrong with that. But I thought to myself that this table, with the scenes unfolding around it, was gritty, to the point, and hands-on in a way that I thought was way more in line with what Jesus did during his time on earth, and what he would want all of us to be doing in remembrance of him. It made me feel really great and put a lump in my throat. What is happening at BSM is truly in remembrance of me. That table should always stay right where it is. You are invited to this table to receive an unconditional invitation to Christian hospitality. And you are invited to extend some of your own as you go forth from this place. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.